It is truly a joy to be back here at New Sterling. I just love to come and worship with you. You have one of the best choirs in the county. It's a joy to be back with you. This time I decided to come really early, so I would be sure not to miss it. If some of y'all don't remember, several years ago, shortly after I had moved here, I was invited to preach, and for some reason I got it in my mind that I needed to go up Highway 90. And once I got to Alexander County, I decided I was not on the right road and stopped into the ARP church there at Stony Point and surprised the minister and said, "I am lost." And I remember standing at the back of the church and him standing at the front there and saying to the people there in the church, "Our brother is lost." Oh, Lord, I'll never forget that. Oh, Lord. Well, you have a wonderful tradition here. I was speaking to somebody earlier and said that the church was formed back in 1787. Amen. That's a wonderful tribute to people that have passed the faith down, a wonderful tradition of service, and understand that First ARP was a church that came out of New Sterling, and then Presley ARP came out of First ARP, so it has, y'all have carried on a wonderful tradition here at New Sterling. So I am glad to be here and to share. It's good to see Harry and Earl. I like to hear Earl speak. I always love to see him at the hospital. He always brings a ray of sunshine and joy to me whenever I see him in the hospital. The scripture that came to me to share with you is from Acts 9. We're all pretty familiar with it, I'm sure. It's of Saul's conversion. But the part that really jumped out at me as I was reading it a few weeks ago was the aspect of Ananias. I had missed a lot of that as I had read the story. But the role that Ananias played just spoke to my heart. One of the unsung heroes in the Bible. If you read through the Bible, there are a lot of unsung heroes, people we don't normally think about, but God worked through them to bring about His will and to further His kingdom. As I was here earlier this morning and sitting at the pew and got here, like I said, I got here pretty early. And you know, it's, the first person that walked through the door made a serious effort to come and be here to worship. And you know, people like Florence Brookshire came in early to be here for worship, to make sure that she was here to worship. And there are a lot of people that serve the Lord day in. The fellow that came up front, I believe his name is Mr. Fulbright, came up and lit these candles here. You know, there's so much that goes on behind the scenes to make a worship service like this go. Jeff, I remember his dad driving me up to Elk Shoals years ago. There's so many people that serve the Lord behind the scenes. And I guess part of the message is that God really honors every single person that gives of their life and of their service to further His kingdom. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll look at His word. Lord, we are grateful for Your word, as we have just sung. I thank You for Your statutes that You have given to us to help guide us along the way, along our pathway home. I thank You for all of Your servants throughout the years. They have traveled across the oceans to come here and spread Your word, further Your kingdom. And every single soul that is here this morning, Lord, that You've called to be together as Your church, to praise You, to hear Your word, and to draw strength from Your Holy Spirit. as we seek to give our lives to you in faithful service. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read a little bit more than I had written down, so bear with me. I'm going to start with Acts 9, starting with the first verse, and then I'll read a little bit further. It says, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest, asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus." One thing I didn't realize was that Ananias was in Damascus. I didn't realize that when I was reading this, but Paul was looking to go to Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, and that would have been Ananias, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground, heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. Now this is the part that spoke to me. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord." The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street," very specific instructions, "and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he's seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." Right here is what I love to read. "Lord," Ananias answered, "I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm that he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." Basically, he's saying, "Are you sure you got the right man here?" But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house, entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up, was baptized, and after taking some food, regained his strength. And Saul spent several days with his disciples in Damascus once again. Once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't this the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. May God add his blessing upon the reading and hearing of his word this morning. Very interesting story. I just loved the part where God has spoken to Ananias and says to him that he wants him to go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he's praying. And Ananias, the young folks, my daughter likes to use the word seriously. Has anybody ever heard that? Are there enough young people here? Seriously? Are you serious that you want me to go to Paul? Do you understand that Paul was coming here to round up all the people in Damascus, which I am one of? He was going to round me up. He was going to haul me off, and he might have had me killed. And you want me to go and lay my hands on him and bring sight back to him and heal him so that he can do what? Well, the Lord said, I want you to go. I called him to go, and for this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles. Isn't that a strange twist of fate? Fate that Ananias, a person whose life was going to be threatened by Paul, was called to go to Paul, lay his hands upon him, and bring healing to him. Because Paul was going to go to the Gentiles, the unclean people of that day. How strange it is sometimes the way God calls us into service, into faithful service to Him. I asked my wife last night, I said, what are the strangest things that God has called you to do? And first thing she said was to marry a minister. Amen. But then she said another thing. Well, she had a whole list, but another thing was for a while there she taught at Statesville High School. She's a social worker, but for a while she felt led. She was helping some of the younger people. And felt like the best way that God could use her was to reach the people in the high school. So she accepted a position to teach in the high school where she felt like Lord was leading her to reach the young people in the high school. And as I saw her go through that difficult situation, it was a calling from God. Because that is a difficult place to teach and to minister in certain classes. But we can think in our own lives when God has called us and said, I want you to maybe forgive somebody. Maybe I want you to go serve a church in such and such area. Maybe I want you to send a card to somebody. Maybe I want you to make a phone call to somebody. Maybe I want you to go to the home of a shut-in. Are you sure, Lord? Are you sure that you want me to go? Who am I to go and to spread your word of love? To spread your word of forgiveness? Who am I? I am just flesh and blood. I am just a sinner saved by the grace of God. I am just a human being. Who am I to be one of your representatives? To be one of your chosen instruments? Who am I to reach out and to be a instrument of your peace? You can think in your own life where God has called you in the past, and you can rest assured that He will lead you further. He likes to stretch our faith. He likes for us to exercise our faith. You think of the people that were in Scotland, in Stirling, and God led them to come over here. You know, I don't know whether I would have got on a ship and gone across the Atlantic Ocean and come to a new world that I didn't know much about. Think of the people who started new churches. Think of the people who reached out. Think of the people who have touched your life. Think of the Sunday school teachers that have answered the call, that somebody said, would you teach a such and such class? And they thought in their heart, who am I? I don't have the gifts to do that. But think of the people that have answered the call and said, deep within their heart, are you sure, Lord? But still answered the call. That God gave them the call, the strength to answer that call of faith, to reach out, to encourage somebody, to bring healing to somebody, to speak the word of forgiveness to somebody, to further God's kingdom. Think of the people. Think of the ways in which God may be calling you. You think in your heart, what if Ananias had not answered the call? What if he had said, I just am not going to do that. And I got something else I need to do. What if he had said, you know, I just can't do that. I am scared. I am second guessing. Was that really God calling me? Was that just a feeling I had? What if Ananias had said no? What if he had said, no, I'm really not going to do that? Well, when I thought about that question, you know, I think eventually God would have found a servant, a willing servant, to go and to heal Paul. Because God is going to fulfill His purpose. Even if Ananias had said no, I believe God would have found another willing servant. But Ananias would have missed that opportunity to be assured of his faith as he reached out to see God there. To see his eyes open, to see not only Paul's eyes open. Think about that. Think about that. When Ananias went, I'm sure he still had doubts. I'm sure he had questions. And reached out in faith, going to this man who he had heard reports about. And went to that room and laid his hands on him in faith. And said, the same Jesus that spoke to you on the road spoke to me. And I'm coming here in faith and I'm putting my hands on you, and I'm following God's will, and saw Paul's eyes open. It doesn't say in the scripture that Ananias' eyes were open, but he saw God's promise fulfilled. His eyes were opened a little clearer. He could see God at work a little better. His faith became a little stronger. And God's kingdom was furthered a little further. When I think of how God calls us to reach out in faith, He is not asking for perfect people, is He? He is not asking for people. I hear sometimes people say, well, I am going to follow the Lord. I'm going to give my life to the Lord, or I'm going to reach out in this kind of service when I get such and such in order. When I get my life all together and all in order, then I'm going to reach out in faith. That'll never really happen, will it? God doesn't call perfect people. I can attest to that. God calls willing servants to reach out in faith and have our eyes open to the ways in which God can work. Think about Paul. Another sidelight to this is Paul. Paul going to Damascus to round up those Christians, to have them put to death. He is turned around, becomes a believer in Jesus, and not only becomes a believer in Jesus, but then he is called out to go to the Gentiles. To reach out to those people that were in that day seen as unclean. Think about the transformation in Paul's life. Think about where God is leading us and how God is calling us to be maybe a chosen instrument in His Word. I wrote down a couple of challenges about how God may be calling us in our lives. We can say, Lord, I know You forgive us, but You want me to go and extend Your hand of forgiveness to who? You want me to forgive them when they have hurt me, when they're the way they are? You want me to forgive them? I know You died for everybody, Lord, but You want me to invite who to church? I remember years ago, and this is a dear man, and I'm sure he would not, you know, we all say things we wish we could retract, but I remember riding on a visitation with a fella, and we were thinking about, you know, inviting people to church, and we were riding down this road, and there was a house over here on the left, and I said, who lives there? And he said, oh, that's so-and-so, but, you know, he said, we want people to come to church, but, you know, we want the right kind of people to come to church. And I thought to myself, the right kind of people really are anybody who is willing to receive Christ as Lord and Savior. Who do you want me to invite to church, Lord? Love is one thing. But you want me to do what for my wife? You want me to be a servant for her? You want me to serve her? What real marriage is about, serving the other partner. I know you want a deeper relationship with us, Lord, but you really want me to spend more time reading the Bible or praying with a devotional life. You really want me to delve into your Word, to spend time in prayer, and learn where you would want me to go. This is one that really speaks to me. It says, I know you're the ultimate judge, Lord, and that we'll all stand before you one day. But you want me to stop playing the judge of others? Sometimes I can think I'm the judge sitting on the throne and judging other people and pointing fingers. And if all these kind of challenges sound hard and sound difficult, the good news of the gospel is, this is what I'm always reminded of, the good news of the gospel is that He will give us the power to reach out and forgive. He will give us the strength to reach out and love. He will give us the insight of who needs a word of encouragement, who needs to be invited to church, who is really at that point where maybe they can hear the gospel this time. Oh, I've knocked on their door. Oh, I've invited them so many times. But you know what? Sometimes there's that right time. I remember in my own life, people had knocked on my door and encouraged me to give my life to the Lord. But there was that one time when that, I don't even remember his name, that faithful servant said to me, "Have you ever invited Jesus into your life?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Well, you know, he says he will do this for you. He says he'll work this in your life. Why don't you take him at his word? Take the challenge. Why don't you give him a challenge? Invite him into your life and invite him to make a change in your life." And I don't know what the difference was that night, because people had presented the gospel to me many a time. But something spoke to me in the way that that fellow worded it. I like a challenge. I'm a very competitive person. Maybe the way God gave him the words or whatever it was that night. But we stopped and I invited Jesus into my life, and I knew it was different. And I knew He was beginning a work in my life, and that's a long time ago, and He's still got a lot of work to do. The Lord will guide us. The Lord will work through us, through His Holy Spirit, to show us who needs that word, who needs that extra word of encouragement, of love, of forgiveness, that one more time to invite them to come to church or invite them to give their life to the Lord. The Lord will guide us. That's the good news of the gospel. We don't do this on our own power, but we do it under the power of the Holy Spirit and under the power of the risen Christ. He will choose the most unlikely people, maybe an Ananias, maybe you and I, to carry on His work. We look at the cross, and the cross seems like foolishness to the world, doesn't it? But Jesus went upon the cross and He died for our sins that we might have eternal life. The world of that day looked at it. That's not the kind of Messiah that we thought would come. But God chooses His way to save us. And God chooses each one of us to be instruments of His peace, to be ambassadors for Christ in a world that desperately needs to hear, and it needs to receive His good news and His message of love.